NYC trivia for the audience. How many cats does Curtis Sliwa have?
I didn't really do much research. I mean, I have seen videos from inside his apartment, and it seems like he has a normal amount. I don't know.
16.
16?
16 cats.
Okay, maybe not.
Yeah, in a studio apartment on the Upper West Side.
yeah, I mean, when I met Curtis outside of Penn Station for that one clip that I should use in the show, mm-hmm. I didn't know who he was at the time.
Oh, really?
It was a pretty old clip. That I repurposed, and I just saw him with the Guardian Angels hat and, you know, shirt, and I asked him just for a generic interview, and then at the end I, you know, asked how long he's been with the Guardian Angels. he was like I started it, kid, you know.
Along the whole time.
Yeah.
The whole time.
And I genuinely didn't know. So there was a kind of this nice kind of naivety to the interview that I had with him. I don't know, maybe that might have been in like 2018 or something like that.
Oh wow.
Like, or 2019. Oh. It was like kind of old. You could probably see the ads in the back and date it exactly. Mm-hmm.
You were born in New York City, is that correct?
I was born at Flushing Hospital, yeah.
Yeah, okay. One of the things that I want to talk about in this very special episode at the Whitney Museum is the cost of living in New York and how that has made it, in many cases, more difficult to produce art. So I was wondering, as we start off, how have you personally seen the city change? Now you're maybe a mid-career artist, if I can say that.
Sure.
How have you seen the city change within that time?
You know, even over here, there's the bar I used to go to all the time, Hogs and Heifers, that's no longer there. Mm. That was like a real Coyote Ugly kind of bar with like brassieres on the ceiling and stuff like that.
Hogs and Heifers?
Yeah, Hogs. They used to have a megaphone and they would yell at men and call you like nerds.
Oh, okay. It's what the movie is based off of.
The movie might be a soup of a couple different things, but I think that was like a major place, which is now, Hogs and Heifers is now in Vegas, and it's the same owner, and it's the same, all the same stuff from inside, but now it's just in Vegas, which is cool. Anyway, same thing with my old landlord, you know, moved from New York to Vegas.
I've got a bunch of questions about that.
Yeah, there's like a New York to Vegas pipeline that happens at a certain age.
Yeah, in terms of making art in New York City, you know, venues getting squeezed out, galleries getting squeezed out, music venues, bars, restaurants, things like this. But sites that used to be culture have become, in many cases, prohibitively expensive to continue in New York City. This is a big part of Zohran's campaign. Mm-hmm. It's even what Trump is campaigning on, this increased cost of living. And for many artists, that has made it incredibly difficult to produce new work. In your own case, you're producing video. Do you feel like it's harder to make work in New York now? Or was it maybe easier because you can work in this medium that is digital in some nature?
Oh, interesting. I mean, I feel like when I first started making art here, I was living with, you know, six other people in an apartment. And
where was the apartment?
It was in Bushwick. It was at the McKibben Lofts.
No way.
Yeah.
Really?
And that's
okay.
Where,
wow.
Yeah, that's kind of like the Ellis Island for...
Brad went to went to see an apartment. He was apartment hunting, and he saw a room with a dirt floor in the McKibben Lofts.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Were there chickens?
It was just an unfinished... No, it was an unfinished closet that just opened up into like the foundation of the building.
Oh, wow.
It was not a real room.
That sounds like a great rave spot. I think that... You know, I was paying $400 a month for rent when I first moved here, fresh off the boat. I mean, back as like an adult. And, you know, my room was the exact size of a mattress. And, I had to build the walls myself. But I don't know, like, what artists are doing now, really. The ways and the venues in which we kind of... share this stuff, you know, are becoming fewer and fewer.
That the galleries are gone and the small theaters are gone.
Yeah.
Things like that. Well, I mean, I run, in addition to this podcast, a nonprofit, and we look at probably 400 to 500 submissions of art by young people. And many of them are in New York City. They're not all in New York City, but I do notice a general trend where, like, compared to when I was a 25-year-old trying to get my foot in the door to do art and creative projects in general, you could have a studio and you could make sculptures and paintings and stuff like this, and we get an enormous amount of work that is video or stuff people made on a laptop because they have, kind of as you're describing, only their bedroom in which to work because they can't afford the other stuff.
Yeah.
So there is a kind of slow drift that has happened in the last few years. But we are here to talk about your new movie,
oh, wow.
The History of Concrete.
Sure.
We're doing the show now. you recently played Sundance and the Copenhagen Film Festival. Has it shown anywhere else yet?
I showed it at a Big Sky Film Festival
in
Missoula, Montana.
Okay, and what about, is there a release date yet for the film?
Hopefully summer.
Hopefully summer.
Yeah.
Okay,
seems to be the goal right now.
Okay, well, one of the reasons I'm asking about these things is because a big part of the film is discussing rent and then trying to get funding for creative projects. So I want to explore both of those in the course of this conversation. But first, what is the new movie about? Hi, everybody. This is Joshua Citarella. What you just heard is an excerpt from this week's bonus episode. If you want to hear more and get access to the full catalog for Doomscroll and other podcasts, you can support the show on Patreon or Substack, where I'm putting out new episodes every week. This is an independent show. I don't do any advertising, so your support is really what keeps this project going. Thanks for listening. See you again soon.